read from.
But I am going to preach out of Luke chapter 15, if you'll turn over with me. Amen. I feel real good down in my soul. Amen. Sometimes you don't feel real good in body, but you can still feel good in your soul. Amen. And I know what they were getting emotional about. I know what I was getting emotional about. My mind goes back to that day that God saved me.
Amen.
Amen. Just like I believe it's Caitlin last week was talking about her spiritual birthday. Got saved 2 years ago, her and her sister. I remember the day I got saved.
Amen.
I ain't got over it yet. Amen. That was in 1978. It seems like a long time ago. But when I start thinking about my salvation, it seems like, Brother Jeff, it was last week.
Amen.
It's just so fresh and so new and so real. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You just know about Him and you've heard about Him. You've heard about what a great man He was and how He helped humankind and mankind and all the great things He did. But you've never really had a personal, intimate relationship with Him. Can I tell you something this morning? You just don't know what you're missing. I've never had anything before. I'm 52 years old, and I've never had anything before or since that does me like Jesus does. I used to, before I got saved, I liked rock music and liked to party. But I never had a rock band that did for me what Jesus does. I never heard a country song or somebody get a guitar and start whining through their nasal passages do for me what Jesus does. I never been to a bar and seen a woman dance on a table that did for me what Jesus does. Amen? I'm serious this morning. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know Him, you just don't know what a joy. There's no way that we can put it into words and make you understand it. I'll give you a good example. My daddy, before he died, my mama died in 1997. My daddy came down to visit us. I was pastoring up in Hardeeville, South Carolina. Begged him to come down. Daddy never traveled. He never went very far from where he's born and raised up in the mountains. And I talked him into coming down. I went and got him, brought him down. And we lived just a little ways from the ocean, probably 30 minutes, wasn't it? I got Daddy in the car one day, and we drove out to Hilton Head Island out there and got out of the truck. We walked up that little boardwalk. We walked across that little ridge, and he saw the Atlantic Ocean. If you'd have seen his eyes and his face, it was priceless. My daddy stood there. He was 70 years old, and he stood there like this. He said, I just can't believe it. He said, I've read about it. I've heard about it. He said, I've seen it on movies, but he said, there's nothing like seeing it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. If you're not saved, there's no way in the world I can open your eyes and make you see what I'm talking about this morning. There's no way in this world there ain't a preacher alive can preach a message and make you feel what I'm feeling right now. There's no way in the world you can understand. I know it don't make sense if you're not saved. You sit back and you see three young people get up here and sing and tears run down their face. You look up the choir and see men and women in their 30s and 40s and 50s and some of them teenagers, big old tears running down their face. You're sitting there thinking, that don't make any sense. What's their problem? They don't have a problem. That's what they're shouting about. The biggest problem they ever had has been solved. There's a remedy. Jesus Christ, He paid the debt on Calvary's cross for you and for me. I like it myself now. I like it. Look at Luke chapter 15. I want to read a few verses of Scripture this morning. I didn't feel too good this morning, but I'm starting to feel like preaching. This story is a story of a young man that threw away his life savings. Luke chapter number 15, a certain man, in verse 11, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the hot swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father, listen to this, saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They begin to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress thy at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Watch this. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach on this morning. I'm going to take my time and tell you what the Lord put on my heart. Right there where he came to himself, he decided he'd go back to his father's house. I want to preach on this. Everything is all right down at my father's house. Amen? Everything's all right at the father's house. This young man, as you read the story, he went to his daddy and he said, Daddy, I want my inheritance. I'm not going to wait for it. There's no future in this feeding hogs and feeding cows and chickens and all that stuff and going to bed early. All these rules and all this stuff, I've had it with all this hard work. I'm getting blisters on my fingers and my clothes have got holes in them, and I want to go out and live it up. And his daddy said, son, you're supposed to wait till you get old enough to get married and you inherit your money and your land and you'll have part of this farm. He said, I want it now. And the Bible said he had a rebellious heart, because as soon as he got the money, the Bible said in verse 13, not many days after he got it. I believe that boy had his bags packed when he went and talked to his daddy. He's like a lot of young people today. He said, Daddy, oh, what's coming to me? I know more than you do. I got more sense than you do. I'm more cool than you are. You don't know what's hip and cool, what's going on, and I want to get out there and have a good time. I've been watching MTV. I've been going down to the movie theater, and I've been seeing what the real life's like. I want to go out west. I want to go to Hollywood or up in New York. I want to live it up. I'm tired of living on the farm. I'm tired of eating cornbread in the evening and grits in the morning. I want to live it up, and I want to see the bright lights and the big city and meet some people. I'm destined for great things. And Brother Bible said, not many days when he got his inheritance, brother, that boy struck out. And another reason, you know, that he had a rebellious heart, the Bible said he went into a far country. He went a long ways off, and he even left his own country. He went a long ways, kids. I'm telling you, when you get out of the will of God, sometimes you'll go a long ways before sin gets through with you. And, brother, he wasted everything he had, and his brother even mentioned it later there in the story. He said he wasted all your money on harlots. That boy went out and partied. Righteous living means the party life. Hey, you watch TV and you're blue in the face, and brother, all that stuff is, listen, you watch football games and baseball games, they'll pop it up there. This evening's World Series game is sponsored by Budweiser. Now, little tiny small letters, drink responsibly. There ain't no such thing. There ain't no such thing as drinking responsibly. You drink and drink till you get drunk. It's a sin. It'll ruin your life, but it don't show you the people that's had wrecks out of the highway. It don't show you little boys and little girls that's sitting in a funeral home because their daddy's in a casket because a drunk driver ran over it. I'm telling you, sin will wreck you and ruin you and tear your life apart and leave you laying in a pile somewhere. I want you to notice, in my father's house, everything's all right. If you'll just come back to the Lord, everything will be okay. You're going to have some scars and you're going to have some things that you got to live with. But as far as your relationship with God, as far as your fellowship, you can get it back. Your relationship never changed, and I'll show you that in a minute. But number one, I want you to notice that our Father has plenty. Our Father has plenty. Look at verse number 17. When he came to himself, he was sitting down there in a pig pen. Have you ever slopped hogs before? We used to have to do that when we was kids. And listen, that was one of the chores I didn't want to do. I didn't mind chopping wood or going getting coal carried in. I didn't mind that too bad. I was a kid. I didn't want to do none of it, really, to be honest with you. Kids just don't like to work. Not an amen in the house. But it's true. But listen, they'd put that slop in that bucket and it'd sit there and clabber milk and grease. And oh, good Lord, it was awful. You take it down and throw it. That is the nastiest thing you ever done in your life. It's worse than unplugging a sewer line, brother. But anyway, he was down there and he was feeding pigs. I mean, he was at the bottom of the heap. He was as low as he could get. And he was as far gone as you can go. And sin had took him down there and wasted his life. And he took all that money he had. I imagine he had a pretty good bit because that man, according to the Bible, it sounds like his daddy was wealthy and he gave him a big old chunk of money. I want to tell you something, brother. Sin can run through your life and wreck it just like that. It don't take a whole lot. It don't take a long time. Listen, brother and sister, sin can ruin you in a short period of time. I'll say this to you right here. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Brother Kevin showed me somebody a few weeks ago that he knew personally. He said, "You see that woman right there?" He said, "Preacher, she ain't mature age." But brother, she didn't look it, did she? You know what that is? It ain't that I'm pretty and, you know, it's sin. Amen. You can't sin. And listen, you can't sin. You can't sin. I said, hey, you can't sin and not end up down at the hog pen. That's where sin takes people. I know you think you can sit back and have a little toddy for the body and drink a few beers and you'll be all right. You're different from the rest of them, but it'll take you down to the hog pen. Just like it did him. You say, "Oh, preacher, I drink responsibly. I only drink one beer a day, and I stay at home. I don't beat my wife, and I don't gamble." It's still sin, and it's still wicked, and it'll still take you down to where the hogs live. Amen. It's still nasty. I don't care if you drink one a day. I don't know why I'm getting on that. But one sin will keep adding to another sin. But that boy had plenty. And brother, he went through it quick. The Bible said he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he was joined up with wrong people, with the wrong crowd. And he went through all that. Did you notice he came to himself? He is by himself. Where'd all his friends go? You don't have money and not have people help you use it. If you got a pile of money and start partying, they'll come out of the woodwork. You'll have buds and homies left and right, and you'll have boys, if you want girlfriends, just start flashing money, and you'll have girlfriends clinging all over you. I mean, brother, you look at all these rich, these athletes and these movie stars, and some of them so ugly, bless God, if they didn't have money, they couldn't get a baboon for a while. You know I'm telling the truth. And as soon as that money's gone, your friends are gone, and your girlfriends are gone, and your boyfriends are gone. When somebody loves you for who you are, even though you're ugly and broke and poor, buddy, you got something. You better marry her. Amen. That's why I married Debbie. I thought, dear God, I found one that had me and put up with me and knows all of my shortcomings and my problems. I'm sold. I'll take her. But the Bible said in verse 17, he came to himself and he said, here I am in this pitiful condition. And the Bible said he looked down and would have filled his stomach with the hog slop. But he said, he came to himself. He said, you know what? Before I eat that, I remember how it used to be back at Daddy's house. And Mom would fix up that cornbread or them cathead biscuits and fix country ham and mashed taters and green beans and corn on the cob. My God, here I am looking down in the hog pen. I can do better than this. Even if Daddy disowns me. Even if Daddy disowns me, he's a good man. He'll still give me a place to sleep. He'll let me stay out in the bunkhouse. He'll let me eat with the servants. I'm not worthy to be his son, just like they were singing about a minute ago. Oh, but I want to tell you, our Father has plenty. He has plenty. I said, our Father has plenty this morning. You get out there and sing, he'll wreck you and ruin you, and you'll be hungry. Nothing to eat. Would you believe this morning when I was in sin before I got saved? My daddy was a preacher and I knew what I was supposed to do but wouldn't do it. There was times I'd be at a party and be half drunk and the Holy Spirit convict me and say, you don't belong here. Amen. Oh, you talk about ruining your party for you. I'd be sitting on a bar stool and people dancing and I'd be doing the hoochie-coochie and all that stuff. I'd be sitting there with a pitcher of beer and the sweet Holy Spirit come by and say, boy, it sure be better if you was down there at the church house. Your mama's sitting on that piano stool. She's standing up in the choir. She's singing how beautiful heaven must be. Your daddy's right back preaching right now. That's where you need to be. This ain't fulfilling you. This ain't satisfying you. I'd wake up the next morning with the biggest hollow, empty feeling you can imagine. And I thought, oh God, this can't be what life's about. Oh, it leaves you empty. It leaves you worn. It leaves you torn. It'll tear your life apart. Amen. Our Father has plenty. Not only that, but verse 18, he said, my Father has pity. Look at verse 18. He said, I'll rise and go to my Father, and I'll say to him, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Did you notice repentance in there? Did you notice he said, I'll repent. I'll repent. He said, I've sinned against heaven and my Father. He said, I'm not going to go back and say, you owe me. He didn't say, I'm going to go back and say, you violated my rights. You violated my civil rights. No, he went back with a broken attitude. He said, I can't bear to look my daddy in the face, but I'm going to beg his forgiveness because I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one that's sinned. You'll never get right with God. You'll never get fellowship with God. You'll never get in communion with God until you admit you're a dirty sinner and that God is holy. You'll never get right with God. You'll die in your sin and burn forever. Until you get broken. Until you decide you're the sinner. Our society is going around with their chest poked out and everybody's violating my rights and everybody's supposed to apologize to me. Listen, good God don't have to apologize to you. God sent his son and hung him on a cruel, rugged Roman cross and watched him die. God, brother, listen, God himself poured out his wrath on his own son so that you can be saved. God don't owe you nothing, brother. God's already done it all. God's already wrote you a blank check. It's up to you to cash it. If you die and go to hell, God will still be God and will shower all over heaven. I want to tell you, I'm not glad about that, but that's just the way it is, brother. I want you to know you've got to be broken and have a repentant heart or you'll die and go to hell. Well, I'm right, you're wrong. We're not talking about me and you here. You do understand what I'm saying. We're talking about you and God. We're talking about me and God. When I came to the Lord that Sunday night in November 1978, I knew it was Ronnie Wilcox that was wrong. I knew it was me had been out in sin. I knew it was me that violated God's law. I knew there was an indictment against me and God was reading off the charges and the devil was reading off the charges and every one of them was true. Every bit of it, Brother Sam, I was tried and found guilty and I was doomed and destined and damned for a devil's hell and deserved every bit of it. Oh, but brother, when I went to God that night, I went with my head down, bowed on my face, begging for some mercy. I'm glad he had pity. I'm glad God is far of tender mercy this morning. Amen. God has pity. Oh, you better be glad this morning. You better be glad God has pity or you'd be in hell. I know people don't like that kind of preaching, but you're looking at a preacher that don't care. I don't care what people like. I'm knowing what God said do. I'm trying to help you. Listen, you're in a burning building and I'm out here with a life preserver. I'm out here with a fire hose. I'm out here with a canopy saying, jump, get out of danger. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I'm glad my Father has pity. And that night I bowed down to get saved, Brother Ted. He did exactly what my daddy been preaching for 20 years to me. All those years I'd heard it preached. I'd heard my Sunday school teacher talk about it. I'd heard it in Bible school. I'd heard preachers preach it my whole life. If you'll come to him in repentance and a broken heart, he'll forgive you. I thought, oh God, I've done such bad stuff now. My daddy's a preacher and I've spent several years in sin. I've done stuff that's so bad. Oh God, I couldn't even write it on paper and let the devil read it. It's so bad. Y'all wouldn't believe it if you knew some of the stuff I've done. I wouldn't believe it if I knew some of the things some of y'all have done. But that ain't the point. The point is, he did exactly what he said he would. Romans 10:13. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I found him to be true this morning. I found him to be right. I found his word to be reliable and be just exactly what God said it was. I'm glad. He said, if I go back, My father has plenty, and my father has pity. Number three, look at verse 20. He said, my father is personal. He arose and came to his father, but I'm the only one having a good time this morning, ain't I? That's all right. I'll preach. Y'all will go ahead and leave and go home. I'll stay and preach. And he arose and came to his father, period. But the next part says, but when he was yet a great way off, he hadn't even made it all the way back to the house, Brother Jeff. He was coming around the curve with his head down. He didn't even have any shoes on. His clothes was ragged and torn. He'd been out the hog pen, stinking like a pig. And just about to eat slop, and his belly was, he'd probably lost weight and looked bad and dark circles under his eyes. Probably hadn't had a haircut, and his beard's scraggly looking. And come walking up that road, I'm sure the devil talked to him and said, your daddy will never take you back. You know what you've done so bad? They don't want you. You've ruined your daddy's reputation. You spent all that money. You know how long it took your daddy and your grandpa and your great-grandpa to accumulate all that money that you blew just in a matter of just a few months? Oh, they'll never take you back. There's probably a sign down at the post office that says wanted, dead or alive. And he might have got a few steps and saw the house. He might have stopped and stood there by the old picket fence and thought, I don't know if I should do it or not. Oh, but the Bible said while he was a great way off, his father spotted him. He come out on the porch. He said, I see a familiar figure down the road, thank God. And he ran and met him and fell on him. I'm telling you this morning, if you'll come to Jesus, Jesus will come to you.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. It's personal. That night I got saved, it wasn't a group of people standing around and holding hands praying. It was me and God. We was doing business. Brother Heath, I knew I'd broke God's law and I was wicked, filthy, and vile. I felt like I'd avoid men in the hog pit. But the first time in my life, Brother Sam, I really prayed a real prayer. Now listen, I know everybody had none of some of the stuff I've done to some of y'all, and I'm glad. I'm glad you kids ain't wrecked and ruined and thrown away your life like I did. But I want you to know when I got saved, I realized it was personal. He said, that's my father. You know what? That's my father. And that old man come out there and looked down the road and saw that boy. Somebody said, that can't be him. He said, I know that's him. Good Lord, look how bad he looks. He looks like he's aged 20 years. He's dirty and I can smell him from here. He said, yeah, but that's my son. He looks bad. He smells bad. I know he's been in some bad places, but thank God that's my boy. And he ran and met him and fell on his neck.
Amen.
It was personal. We saw him as a great way off. He ran, had compassion, fell on his neck and kissed him. Ain't that sweet? It's personal, brother. That's why I get it. When people's up here in the choir and they're singing, big old tears, or be out talking to somebody, run into somebody at the hardware or the grocery store, and they start telling you about how they got saved. Big old tears well up in their eyes. I get it. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, sister, because I've been there.
Amen.
I remember that day, Brother Sam. It's like a flashback. When people start talking about getting saved and being saved, listen, you can talk about all the things of life and all the blessings that God's given us. Thank you for my home and for my car and my clothes. Nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you what, the very foundational reason you shout and praise and worship God ought to be back to that day that God met you down the road when you went out and ruined and wasted your life. I'm not saying you had to do bad stuff. Could I tell you something this morning? If you're 10 years old and you ain't never drunk a beer, smoked a cigarette, or smoked dope, or took pills, you're just as lost as the worst drunkard in hell.
Amen.
It's not the amount of sin that you do, the intensity of the sin. You're still a sinner.
Amen.
But it's personal. Number four, my father is particular. Look at verse 22. He said, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But before he could get done, before he could get through telling his daddy everything he'd done, his daddy said, hold it, son, hold it. He went, hey, boys, come up here. Yes, sir. They come running up. He had servants. They said, run down there and get my best robe. He didn't say, go grab a blanket out of the barn. He said, go in yonder, go through the house, up the stairs to my bedroom, the master bedroom, and go in that main walk-in closet, you'll see a great big thick robe. And they said, but sir, your wife bought you that for Christmas last year. That's special. You never wear it once a year. He said, that's right. That's the one I want. Get the best one I got out of my closet and bring down here. And they brought it down there. Oh, I'm trying to tell you, he's particular. I want to say, when God saved you, he covered you. But the first thing God did was cover you up. He took that robe and wrapped it around that boy. Brother, he was worn by sin. He was weathered. He was beaten down. He was tore up. He was almost gone, and his daddy covered him. Amen. Son, let me get something on you. Amen. He's particular. He covered me. Not only that, if you read there, he said, put a ring on his hand. Not only did he cover you, but he claimed you. You know what that ring means? You know what this ring right here means? See that ring? You know what that means? Somebody claimed me one day. I belong to her. Right? That's right. You know what that ring on her hand means? That's what a ring's for. A ring signifies ownership. Back in those days when they put a ring on it and put a seal on their service, it's like a brand on a cow. You know, where it's got your particular seal or your signet. And all those rings, if you had that ring on, that meant you belonged to that plantation or to that owner or to a certain person or a certain family. And that's what it was. He didn't say, go get a ring on him. We need to decorate him up and make him look pretty. No. He said, I want everybody to know he was there. He looks bad. And he's been put through the ring. When they look at him, I want them to know he's mine. Thank God, I'm glad God put ownership on me one day. I'm glad I know who I belong to. He claimed me. Not only that, but he comforted me. The next thing he said, get that boy a pair of shoes. We usually dress the opposite way. We get a set of clothes and then get the shoes. But they knew how to do it. He put shoes on him. That's a comfort. Do you know your feet's one of the most important things in your body? When you go in the military, you know what they teach you? One of the most important things, boys, is taking care of your feet. Don't get out there on the battlefield and let your feet get cold. Don't get out there and let it get frostbite in your toes. If you do, you ain't no good to us. It don't matter if you can shoot or throw a grenade or if you can run, technological things or if you're an administrator. If your feet's bad, you've got to have your feet covered and you've got to take care of them feet. That is the foundation on which you stand. That's a comfort. He put shoes on. You know what that signifies? You put shoes on somebody, they're ready to go somewhere now. Get some shoes on him. That's a comfort. And then lastly, I want to say, he claimed us and comforted us and covered us. Look at verse 22. But the father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his feet and shoes on his feet. And bring forth the fatted calf and kill it, let us eat and be merry, for this my son. He confessed us. He said, my son is back. Ain't you glad God confesses you? Amen. Someday when you know that song he's singing, when they hear the awful charges, God will confess you. All he's got to do is open his book. Your name is there. And the last thing is a celebration. He completed me. He said, let's have us a celebration and celebrate he's come home. You know, according to Revelation 21 and 22, there's going to be a celebration. It's going to all come around full circle. Amen. We're not complete just yet. We are as far as our salvation goes. But physically, we're still in this old flesh. But one day, our flesh will be redeemed as well. Amen. Can you imagine having a glorified body to go with a glorified soul? Amen. Man, you talk about feeling good, you're going to feel right. Amen. You talk about a blessing, brother. I mean, we'll probably bust through that gate running. Why? It probably won't stop for 1,000 years running in circles. Amen? But he'll complete us. And that's what the father did. He completed his son when he put the robe on him, put shoes on his feet, and got him comforted. He said, not only that, but I'm going to give him a meal. Y'all know what the fatted calf was. That's the fatted calf and the jealous brothers only two wasn't happy about him coming home. But on a farm, what they do is they put a calf in a stall and feed him grain, fatten him up, and just wait for a special occasion. And they just wait for a Thanksgiving or Christmas or a big family reunion. And that calf's got all muscled up and fat. He can't even walk. He's so big and fat. He didn't say go out there in the field and get a get a lean, scraggly chicken or go shoot a squirrel. He said, go get that fighting calf. We've been saving up for a celebration. I've got to tell you something. One of these days we're going to get to heaven. And, brother, there's a celebration they're planning up yonder for us. We're going through this aisle with our chin dragging the ground. They're scurrying around up in heaven making preparations for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will serve us himself. We'll be completed. And the last thing I'll say is verse 26. My Father has plenty, and he has pity, and he's personal, and he's particular. But number five, look at verse 26. My Father's precious. Verse number 26 said this, and he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother's come, and thy father's killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. This is the jealous brother. He was angry and would not go in. He said, we didn't vote on that. That's not in our church bylaws. We weren't supposed to kill that calf. My son's been, your brother's been out partying. He's blowed all that money. We didn't vote on that. We didn't have our quarterly meeting. Are y'all with me? Everybody awake? No matter what happens, you're always going to have somebody on the sideline grumbling. Amen? But he said this. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answered and said, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Listen how self-righteous this boy is. Neither transgressed I at any time. I've never done anything wrong, Daddy. You believe that? You believe that boy was that perfect? That's just me talking. I don't think he was. I've never drank a beer. I've never smoked dope. I've never left this house. I've never come home after being the wild woman. All that may be true, but I don't think he's as perfect as he let on. You know what people try to do when they put other people down? If they put other people down to try to make themselves, build themselves up. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Wah! Wah! You never had a party for me. And his lips stuck out about this arm. But listen how precious his father was. He said, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. But he said, your brother was dead and he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. As far as me and your mama knew, he was dead. We didn't even know he's alive. We didn't even know he's still breathing. Till he come walking around that curve down yonder. And that's my son. He is precious, ain't he?
Amen.
He found us, he forgave us, and he fixed us. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? You know what I mean? He found where you was at, he forgave you of your sins, and he fixed you. Didn't you feel like the day you got saved, your life was in shattered pieces? It's like Jesus put them together like a puzzle.
Amen.
Put you back together. See, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. You cannot fix yourself. You cannot. I understand with the 12-step program and all that, I understand what they're trying to get at, but you can't fix somebody from the outside. You got to fix them from the inside.
Amen.
And you can't turn over a new leaf and get anything but a dirty leaf. You can't fix the problem. It's beyond your control.
Amen.
You're a sinner and ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Except one thing, come to the Father, and he'll fix it.
Amen.
That boy didn't deserve any of that. You say, I'm so undeserving. You're going to have to get past that because you're looking at somebody, and here's a few more. Matter of fact, even these kids up here singing that ain't got out and done all this wicked stuff, they didn't deserve it either. When you think about hell-deserving sinners, and Jesus was put on a cross and cruelly beaten and had nails run through him and just hung there and bled out innocent, sinless blood for you. None of us deserve it. You just have to understand the debt has been paid, and it's personal. It's for you. I don't know who this is for here this morning. There might be somebody here that's not saved. Might be somebody here that's saved, and maybe you just went astray and got your eyes on the world a little bit. Let's all stand. Let me talk to you just a minute. We're going to pray. You might be here this morning. You've kind of got off track.